We need to walk and live by the Spirit. And I said, well, I walk and live by my theology. I walk and live by Scripture. Jesus said, well, that's not what I did. I told you 11 times in a row how I live. I live out of divine initiative.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all around the nations of the world to this week's what's going to really be an extraordinary conversation of this week's episode of Live Your Best Life. My special guest joining me for today, for today's conversation, is a best-selling author. He's also a co-author of 50 books alongside his wife. He's the founder of Communion with God Ministries and also Christian Leadership University. And he has over 40 years experience teaching the body of Christ how to walk in intimacy with Jesus and pursue spiritual healing. And his new book, which is called Hearing God's Voice for Healing, is really a deep dive into what the Bible tells us about healing, which I believe is an extremely needed book in the body of Christ, particularly for people who have not yet experienced their healing miracles. So you're going to receive a lot of hope today. It is my joy to welcome into the conversation with me, Dr. Mark Vakler. Mark, welcome.
Liz, thank you very much. It's a joy to be here with you.
Thank you for giving us your precious time. And like I said, you know, as I've been reading through your book, I've realized it's impacted me how important the deep dive that you've done into the scriptures regarding healing is for all of us, because the Bible, it's not just about the instant miracle, is it? That was something that so impacted me, because like many of us, you know, that's what we expect. But actually, the Bible shows us clearly there are many paths to healing, including healing journeys, you know, where we develop in our wisdom and our capacity for stewardship of ourselves, you know, body, soul, and spirit. We understand so much more of the wisdom of God and how we were created. So I want to start there. Can I ask you, will you help us understand some of the different ways that God heals us?
Absolutely. There's in 1 Corinthians, it says God has placed in the church miracles, which is our number one choice, and yes, gifts of healings. And the word gifts is in the plural in the Greek, and the word healings is in the plural in the Greek. And so gifts of healings means there's a whole bunch of other ways to get healed in addition to a miracle. And I kind of figured, I wanted to tell God, you know, miracle is good with me. I don't need gifts of healings. I just want a miracle.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, when I pray for people and myself, sometimes, occasionally, there's an instantaneous healing, but most of the time there's not. And so what do I do with the most of the time? Say, well, I miss God. There must be sin in my life. I don't have enough faith. You know, God doesn't like me. Or do I say, okay, well, God's apparently planning on using one of his gifts of healings this time instead of a miracle. And if so, then Lord, could you talk to me and just share with me what gift of healing you would like me to apply today to release your healing power to get me healed? And that's a question that I never used to ask, but now I ask, okay, because I've been trained as a naturopath, so I do understand there's natural approaches. And also in the Greek, the word for miracle is taken from a couple of different words. There is no word for miracle in the Greek. One of the words that's translated miracle some of the times, one third of the time, is dunamis, which is a word for dynamite, for power. And the Young's literal translation doesn't translate that miracle ever, even though King James does. Young's literal said, well, it's a work of power, which is more correctly what's being described there. And then the other word that's translated miracle one third of the time is Simeon, which is a word for sign. And yeah, work of power is a sign. But I was blown away by the fact that there's no word for miracle in the Greek. Okay, so that's like a major adjustment of my theology. And And when it says Jesus healed everybody who was present, there's a couple of different words that are used there, Greek words that are used for healing. One is hyeomai, which is power healing. It tends to be more like the power healing, you know, the dunamis kind of thing. But the other one that's used more of the time is therapeuo, which is, we get the word therapeutic, which is cure. And I'm thinking, therapeutic? You know, and, you know, when Jesus went to his hometown, he couldn't do any miracles, no work of power, because they said, hey, it's just Joseph's son. There was no love. There was scorn there. And Jesus was astounded at their disbelief. So there was no belief and there was no love. And if you do want a miracle, I think the rules are faith energized by love. Galatians 5:6, I believe it is. And faith comes from a rhema word, like with Abraham, God spoke a rhema word to him and faith erupted. And God gave him a vision and faith erupted. So that's where I get faith. And the energy that releases power of God, faith energized by love, is love. So do I love myself? Do I love God? Do I love other people? Or do I hate them, despise them, judge them? Do I despise myself? If I'm doing any of those things, then I'm breaking one of the three rules or two of the three rules for releasing a miracle. Because I have to have faith born by the Spirit. It's got to be energized by the Holy Spirit. And it's released if I'm loving, not judging, not criticizing, not condemning myself, God, and others. So fine. That's going to be required for a miracle. And get in Jesus' hometown. They missed two. They missed all three of them. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do any mighty work there, any miracle there, because they didn't have faith and they didn't have love. So there was no energy. But it says, but he healed a few. Well, that word healed a few is therapeuo. He was able to still do therapeutic remedies, even though he couldn't release a power healing. And I thought, wow. So we have a strong biblical basis for going to therapeutic remedies. So does the Bible list any therapeutic remedies? Well, yeah, for sure. When you fast, your health will break forth speedily. Well, that would be a therapeutic remedy, because when I'm fasting, I'm giving my digestive system a break, so it doesn't have to digest food. So we can do house cleaning. House cleaning is a really big part of getting healed. We get the toxins out of our system. I'm open to any therapeutic remedy that's either stated clearly in Scripture or is compatible with biblical principle, either one of those. And if it is compatible or stated clearly, I'll try it. And if it works in my life, I'll teach it.
Right.
Because all of my books come out of what I have personally experienced. None of it's theory. It's what I fought for and what I experienced. Okay. And so some of the 28 healing remedies. God gave herbs for the service of mankind and for the healing of the nations in Revelation 22, where it talks about the healing of the nations. Herbs, and the word herbs is used there for the healing of the nations, and the word healing there is therapeutic. So the Bible clearly says herbology, use of herbs, is for the healing of the nations. And God specifically says, I gave herbs for the healing of the nations. So I want to understand herbs. And half of the drugs that are used in the medical system have a root, a foundation in herbs, but what they do is they strip off all the buffers that God built in the herb that keep it from becoming damaging to your body, which is why drugs are damaging to our body in many cases. And then they change the molecular structure of the basic ingredient, intensify it tenfold or more, so they can patent it and make money off it. So they understand, you know, the value of herbs. But they've got them mucked up and messed up by the time they give it to me as a drug. So I don't want a drug. I want an herb. I want to go back and take the herb with the buffers in the way God designed it. I think it's in Mark chapter 5, maybe 5 or 6, where it says that the disciples, and I missed this verse for years, they were anointing people with oil when they were with Jesus and he was ministering to people. They were anointing them with oil, is what it says. Very clear, right in the text, you know? You'll find that, I'm pretty sure, in Mark 5 or 6. Well, that's healing oils, essential oils, where there's whole companies that sell essential oils. There's a whole book in the market on healing oils in the Bible. How about this one? A merry heart does good like medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People have laughed themselves back from cancer, absolute the deathbed of cancer. And they've decided, well, I'm going to die anyway. I'm just going to watch cartoons, lay in bed and watch cartoons. They laughed and laughed and laughed, and their cancer disappeared. Now, why? Well, because your immune system is turned on when you're expressing kingdom emotions. Kingdom emotions are love and joy and peace and gratitude and thankfulness and laughter. A merry heart does good like medicine. The Bible clearly says, if you're laughing, it's medicine. Science today says what happens is it turns on your immune system when you've got a good emotions. And when you got bad emotions, anger, fear, doubt, you know, insecurity, shame, guilt, it turns off your immune system. Well, cancer cannot develop if your immune system is on and strong. Cancer can and will develop. I mean, you always have cancer cells in your body. Everybody does. But a strong immune system is eating them out constantly. But if you shut it off because I'm angry and mad and at what happened when I was, you know, 20 years of age and my mom or dad or somebody did this to me and I'm holding on to that grudge, well, it's turning my immune system off. Yeah. And I better be laughing all the time. When I began hearing God's voice 40 years ago, I learned how to do four things: quiet myself down, picture Jesus next to me, recognize his voice, his flowing thoughts that lit up on my mind, and just write them out. So those are the four keys that Habakkuk uses in Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. And the Bible is clear to say, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke with the Spirit, John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. So yeah, the Bible is clear to say, hey, when you tune to the Holy Spirit, it's flow. So flowing thoughts are God's voice, flowing pictures are his vision. It's all very clear, but no one had said the sentence to me and I wasn't doing it. So once I started doing it, and I saw Jesus next to me, he was always laughing hilariously. And he said, and he would say, Mark, lighten up. I got it all under control. I said, are you sure? He said, oh, yeah, I'm sure. He said, I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said, have you seen what's going on? He said, yes, I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Relax, I got it, you know? And yeah. I thank God that at 73, I am vibrantly healthy. No aches, no pains, everything works. So all the stuff I've been doing, when I learned to do it 40 years ago, I said, well, I can't write a book about this with authority for 40 years, not till I'm in my 70s, and proven by my life that it actually works. So I'm in my 70s. I've done it for 40 years. I've proven that it works. And I give you all 28 of those modalities that I've used. And the book will even send you to our website where I've written a whole blog or two on each of those 28. So we kind of explain it and open it up for you. Enough so that you can do it yourself, because my question is, you got to be able to do this stuff.
Yeah, it's just stunning. You've just given us a summary on the wisdom of God.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. My gosh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, but it's fantastic what you share in the book, because, like you said, this is not just teaching the word of God, which is important in itself. You've lived it. You've been healed from arthritis because you've done the word, you know, and all the different testimonies and the way that you share vulnerably in the book is just so impacting. And one of the things that you said that really impacted me was how important our internal world is, that we are to basically steward our internal life so that we are, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, what you've said, but we are constantly resetting ourselves into receive mode so that the miracles can happen, the dunamis power can flow unhindered inside of us. And also how you so carefully steward your relationship, protect the connection of your relationship with the Lord, that the center of all healing is our relationship with him. And our ability to really hear him and keep tuning back into that flow of his life within us, which is some of the language that you use. And I thought, this is biblical wisdom, isn't it? This is literally, you are giving us a manual to say, this is how you do life well. This is how you live in divine health, literally, according to the word of God. So I wanted you to just explain to us a little bit more for people, because you said so many things there that are so rich, and some of them will be probably new concepts for us, because many of us have waited for the miracle, which do happen. I've received miracles, and thank you, Jesus, when the dunamis power hits us. But what I think is extremely exciting, one of the extremely exciting things about your book, is that you help us internally position ourselves so we can live like this, receiving dunamis power, living in divine health, living in the wisdom of God all the time. So can I ask you to go there a little bit more for us? How do we steward our internal world, what are the essential ingredients? I know you touched on two there, love and faith, briefly, but how do we literally posture ourselves? What are the ingredients to live in this supernatural state of divine health? Please.
Okay. Well, it's to live out of a daily relationship with Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
And I always thought I had a relationship with Jesus. When I got saved at age 15, they told me I now had a relationship with Jesus. And I said, well, can I hear him talk? And they said, no, he quit talking when he wrote the New Testament. I said, oh, okay. Can I see him? Oh, no, vision's not for today. Well, can I feel him? Well, no, emotions are soulish. I said, well, this is one great relationship. Right. If I were married to my wife and I couldn't hear her and I couldn't see her and I couldn't feel her, and I tell you, I have this great relationship with Patty, you would say I'm Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I had a theology that said I had a relationship. I didn't have a relationship. So the answer is you have to have a daily relationship. Going right back to the Garden of Eden, they walked in the cool of the day, God talked to them. And that's the way Jesus lived his life too. Jesus 11 times says, I don't do anything on my own initiative. And I said, oh, hang on, I do everything on my initiative. I think it up and do it. He's 11 times, he said, I do nothing on my own initiative, only what I hear the Father speaking and see the Father doing. And he said, he had the Father living within him, just like we have the Spirit living within us. And the Spirit's a flow, a river that flows. So when I decide to walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit, which is Galatians 5:25-26, it says we need to walk and live by the Spirit. And I said, well, I walk and live by my theology. I walk and live by Scripture. Jesus said, well, that's not what I did. I told you 11 times in a row how I live. I live out of divine initiative. That you start with John 5, looking for the word initiative in the New American Standard. Go to John 14, you'll find all 11 of them. Or on our website, you can type in initiative and I'll write out all 11 verses. Now, when mom repeats something three times, that means do it, Mark. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus repeats 11 times, this is the way I live. And I say, well, not in the Western culture. We live out thoughts and theology and thinking and reason and scripture memorization. So the key that I understand is I wake up in the morning. I say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for a good night's rest. Anything you'd like to say to me? And I tune to flow, put my hands on my keyboard, and I journal out paragraph from the Lord where he's talking to me, giving me input for the morning, you know? So I'm on track and in touch and connected. I mean, I do the same thing with my wife, Patty. When she gets up, you know, I got coffee made for her. And I say, good morning. I give her a hug. And I say, how'd you sleep well? You know, and I tell her, I love you. I do that every morning with her. So I do it with Jesus, too. Mm. You know, and the Lord has been very clear. Say, Mark, you don't start your day by going to the newspaper or going to the internet and checking out the headlines or going and checking out your emails. You do not do that. You tune to flow and let me talk to you for a few minutes. And then we go from there, wherever flow takes you. So that would be the number one thing I know to do. And I do it daily. And I live in flow all day long, too.
Because I love what you said there, Mark. Tune to flow. You've said that a couple of times. You tune into flow. Can I ask you, what does that look like for you internally? Because that's super helpful for people. It simplifies life, right, back into supernatural reality.
Okay. So a couple of examples. Have you ever been driving on the road in the car, had a thought light up on your mind, you should pray for somebody? Everybody said, yeah, I've had a thought light up on my mind. Well, was that a booming bass? Did you feel that was a voice of God? Oh, yeah, I thought that was a voice of God. Tell me to pray for that person. Was it a booming bass voice or was it a spontaneous thought that lit upon your mind? Was it just flowing thought? They said, ooh, flowing thought. Yeah. Wow. God's voice is like a flowing thought. Okay. Have you ever got involved in worship? And instead of just clapping your hands a little because you're supposed to, you actually felt the presence of God. You tuned to flow. Flow took over and you were caught up in the worship. Flow caught you up. Oh, yeah, I've had that happen. Have you ever been involved in worship with no flow? Oh, yeah, I've had that happen. I was kind of boring. I was clapping my hands, but it was boring. Can you tell the difference? Yeah, okay, that's flow. Have you ever stood in front of a group and had to teach and had flow take over your lips and you found yourself talking a whole lot better than you normally talk? And it's, oh, yeah, I've done that. Have you ever stood in front of a group and not had flow take over your lips? It's, oh, yeah, I just prayed for the rapture. Said, God, get me out of here. I know I'm bad. I know I'm bad. I'm out, you know. So I can tell people examples like that and say, so you are already connecting to flow inadvertently from time to time. You maybe just didn't recognize it. You went from analytical thinking to flow. You went from left brain to right brain, and you let the flow of the spirit anoint you for that moment in time. And you can do that intentionally. You can, and the way you shift hemispheres, the best way is, since pit trains a right hemisphere brain function, if you do Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. If I picture Jesus next to me, which he is, I've shifted hemispheres. I've shifted out of the analytical mode into the intuitive mode, because intuition is a right brain function also, along with vision being a right brain function. So, and if you need flow to kick in more easily, then do what Jesus said. He said, picture yourself, come as a child. So I, when, you know, when I'm there with journaling, I'm not picturing myself as 72. I'm picturing myself as 10 or 12 or 8, you know, because then the frontal lobe isn't there critiquing and analyzing and questioning and doubting and fearing. You know, that's out of the way, because when you're 8, you live in intuition, okay? You don't get out of intuition till about age 7 or 8. You just, for 7 years, are all intuitive. So come as a child. I picture myself as a child. And to get over my grunting and my religiosity, I smile, big smile on my face. So there's Jesus next to me. I got a big smile because he's smiling too. And if I'm smiling, I can't be grunting. Those two don't go together. So I say to people, picture yourself a child, picture Jesus next to you, put a smile on your face, and that'll help you posture internally so flow can kick in just like this. And we do have a free download off the homepage of our website called Sea of Galilee, where we take you for a 5-minute stroll with Jesus. Make sure you're doing these four keys. Quiet it down, picturing Jesus, tune to flow, and then we say, okay, now write. So, and that's free, you know, and there's music in the background. And then there's music continues, and you can just have beautiful soaking music while you're tuned to flow and just journaling. So we can take you by the hand, coach you into this, to miss flow and to miss a divine initiative. Initiative means you miss life.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, my rhemas, my words, rhemas, spoken words, are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love it.
Go ahead.
I love what you're saying. It's so rich and it's so helpful, because these are the primary ways of walking by the Spirit, aren't they? And it's so simple. Like you said, you enter in like a child, and you're reconnecting through your conscious awareness. You're becoming resensitized to the reality that Holy Spirit is inside of us, and he does speak and he does communicate with us the strategy for us to walk in wholeness. That's the other thing that just so impacted me from your book. Simple keys that enable us to tune into what he's saying to us, because there's no in him regarding healing, right? He absolutely wants us living in wholeness, absolutely, in terms of the stewardship of our life and being healed, you know, from what we're currently struggling with, whether it's an emotional root, it's at whatever the cause. He wants us completely whole, and understanding why we haven't been whole perhaps sometimes, which enables us to remove those contributory factors from our lives so that we can actually go forward in optimum health and vitality. Oh my gosh, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. It's so rich what you're writing about, and so needed, like I said. We just have a few minutes left, Mark. Could I ask you to pray for people?
Sure. Father, we just thank you that you love the world so dearly. You love us, each one of us, so dearly. You're willing to die on the cross to restore a relationship between the Father and us, between you and us. And Lord, we thank you that you have accomplished that. The veil is torn from top to bottom. Every single one of us can go into the Holy of Holies every single day and hear your voice, just like it was in the Garden of Eden, a walk in the garden in the cool of the day, hearing your voice. So, Lord, thank you that you've made that available. Lord, I pray that you grant each of us the grace, the passion, and the understanding to step out of Western rationalism and step into divine flow as Jesus modeled for us. Lord, I thank you that Jesus modeled the lifestyle. Thank you, made it easy enough for children to do. And so, Lord, I call us all back to childlikeness, that we will have a childlike faith, live in intuition, live in flow, live in pictures like our children and our grandchildren do. Lord, restore that, arise that, cause that to arise within our hearts right now. And I just call for childlikeness to arise within the hearts of each person who is listening or watching today. I call it forth. Childlikeness, just arise. So that we can come as children and live in this wonderful, wonderful river of life that you have provided for us. A life of fruitfulness. And so, Father, the ease that you have given to me to tune to flow, flowing thoughts and flowing pictures, I release that same anointing, that same ease to everyone who is listening or watching, that there shall arise within you an ease to identify flow and say, oh, that's his voice. Oh, that's his pictures. That's his vision. And I speak faith into your heart to not only identify, but to believe in the simplicity of the river that flows within. To just simply believe the Bible works within you. I call that forth. Just simply declare, I believe the Bible works in me. I believe there is a river within me that flows. It is the river of the Holy Spirit. And I believe I can tap into that and tune into that constantly. That I can abide in Christ constantly. So, Father, I release faith for this reality to each one who's listening or watching today. Lord, we celebrate your goodness to your church and your healing to our bodies, souls, and spirits. We release it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to share with you all, as Mark was praying then, I saw the rivers of living water of the Spirit of God inside of each one of us, releasing, trickling through with this soothing, effervescent, purifying life, touching you and washing out of you unforgiveness, historic unforgiveness and bitterness and pain and disappointment. And I saw him releasing fresh love, fresh faith, fresh capacity for expectation of your miracle, of your healing, to manifest from your ever-deepening relationship with him. You know, the uncreated spirit of the living God is inside each one of us, as we know. And I really felt him re-engaging each one of us into that reality again, deepening our experience of who he is within us. So I know you're going to, if you've been waiting for your healing to manifest, I believe you are going to see your healing manifest after today's conversation and after being prayed for. So yeah, we agree for you to live in optimum divine health, in wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. And I just bless your relationship with Jesus to go to an even deeper level of experience this week. And I look forward to being with you next week. And Mark, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Liz, thank you so much for having me on.
God bless. God bless, guys. Look forward to being with you next week. Jesus said to me, if I would create a space for him, he would come. And he has. We now have people from all over the world as part of what has now become known as the International Mentoring Community, gathering together at his feet every week, and he is moving powerfully. And I want to invite you to come on this amazing journey together with us. Come and join the IMC.